So it's not just the financial safety. It's not just the money. It's not just the excitement and the fulfillment and the motivation, but it's also health, both mental health and physical health. Welcome to the Career Diet Podcast, hosted by me, Anna Baleva, a world-recognized career coach and LinkedIn Learning instructor who's helped thousands of professionals discover and land their dream career. This podcast is for ambitious professionals like you, looking to create a career that supports your personal goals, growth, and lifestyle, not the one that requires you to sacrifice them. My mission is to help you see the power you hold in your career and help you become the star candidate every employer is searching for. Think of this podcast as a personal career strategist in your pocket and leave it up to me to provide you with the tools, tips, and resources you need to make job search fun and turn your dream career into your reality. Thank you for tuning in today. Can't wait to see how your career and life shift. Hello, hello, and welcome to the very first episode of the Career Diet Podcast. I am so excited to welcome you here. This podcast has really been in the works for years. I have had this vision of having a platform where we can really dive into all the topics that I care so deeply about. So job search, career success, career happiness, career progression, mindset, confidence, communication. And I have found that other social media platforms just don't give me an opportunity to really dive into the topics and the examples and give you the tools that I have. So that's what this podcast is about. And when I was thinking about where we would start with the very first episode, I knew right away that I really wanted to talk to you about my definition of a dream career, how I came to that definition, the four stages of my own journey, and how my definition of a dream career has changed. And I have a feeling that a lot of you will actually resonate with how my definition of a dream career has shifted throughout my career and throughout the year. We'll also talk about the three common scenarios that are probably blocking you from you achieving your dream career. With that, let's dive into the episode. Now, I have worked with now over 1,000 job seekers, and I have found one thing to be true. Most of us have been raised with the really what I think old school beliefs of what a dream life should look like. And that is you go to a good school, you get into a safe, prestigious, predictable career, like you become an accountant or you go into finance or consulting or tech has been bigger in the last decade. And then you kind of just grind for a few decades, you buy a house, and that's kind of it. That's the good life. That's the dream. But I think a lot of you listening here will agree that for a lot of us, that definition is not what the dream life is. And a lot of us are starting to feel like, well, I have done all of that, or I tried doing that, and either I'm not happy, or it didn't really work out for me. So I was raised with a very similar definition of what a dream life and dream career look like. So a lot of you know probably that I was raised in a post-Soviet Union, middle of nowhere Russia, where life was very unstable financially, physically. My parents would line up with little tickets to get groceries. The currency defaulted, I think, multiple times in the 90s when I grew up in Russia. And life was very, very much unstable. And the vision that my parents had for myself and my brother was financial stability. That was the number one goal. And the idea that we were raised with was that you get a job that pays you very well. Ideally, you move to a big city Ideally, you work for a multinational corporation that is based in a big skyscraper type of office with fancy coffee machines. And that's what I believed was that dream career. And when you think about it and you look at what we see in movies, what we see in media, especially 20, 30 years ago, the big successful CEO, that's what they did and that's what their career looked like. Now, in my early 20s, I moved to Canada and started business school. And this same idea of what a dream career looks like, which is, again, financial stability and safety and prestige and glass tower kind of office, was further reinforced. Because when you go to business school, at least a decade ago, which is when I went, what they would show you is big corporations. So we would have companies like Microsoft or L'Oreal or Google come on campus and talk to us. And that's what was shown to us as this is the number one goal for you after business school. And they also told us that only the top 1% of us will get into management consulting. And I am very competitive. So when someone tells me only the top 1% will be able to do that, my first reaction is, boom, this is exactly what I want to do. I want to be a management consultant. Now, I was living abroad at that point. English is my second language. I didn't really know anyone, so I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't have a lot of confidence. So I, to be honest, was not landing those consulting interviews. And I didn't get into consulting fresh out of school. So I just fell into a career. And my career started with CPA. So chartered professional accountants, if there are any accountants listening to this podcast, hello, that's where my career started. Working within the CPA world, I was working very close with the big four firms. And while I did fall into that career, it actually taught me a lot of very valuable skills in the very first few years of my career. So on the one hand, I was asked to do presentations pretty much weekly to big groups of people. So I was forced to work on my presentation and communication skills. On the other hand, I was asked, and that was actually part of my job, to go to a lot of networking events. At that point of my career, I would go to 1, 2, sometimes 3 networking events a week for 3 years straight. And it's not something that naturally comes easy to me. I'm an introvert. I used to be quite shy growing up. And again, English is my second language. So that didn't really come easy for me. But again, that taught me a lot of skills that allowed me to meet a lot of people. And that allowed me to start building my network. And that's when I kind of started realizing, oh, just by meeting these people and talking to them, people are willing to help me. So I thought, all right, let's use what I'm building here to try to get interviews in consulting. I was already a couple of years into my career, but that dream of getting into management consulting, so getting into a financially stable, prestigious career that only the top 1% get into, was still very much alive for me. So I used the skills that I have learned working within the CPA world, so my communication skills, networking skills, getting referrals, to start landing interviews in consulting. So I was interviewing with PwC, Deloitte, KPMG, Accenture, McKinsey, and guess what? I didn't get a single offer. And in the next episode, we'll actually talk about why that was. And I only learned years later what actually was holding me back from landing a single offer in consulting, but I didn't get a single offer. And something very interesting happened. I was in my final round of interviews with Deloitte Consulting. So final round is typically with a partner. His name is Andrew. And I remember we sit down, and it's typically more of a casual conversation at that stage. We sit down and Andrew talks to me for a little bit. And then he tells me, you know what? I think you're great. I think you have a great future ahead of you. But I don't believe that you actually want to work in consulting. And I was shocked. I was like, Andrew, in my head, Andrew, this is all I've wanted for the last 3 years. I just want to work in consulting. And I was shocked. I was devastated. I thought it was the way I was showing up, or maybe I was not convincing enough. And again, in the next episode, we'll talk about this energy of convincing the employer in an interview, but I didn't get an offer. And when I kind of work through the initial emotions and feelings of not getting that offer that I wanted for so long, I started reflecting on what happened. And I realized, maybe he's right. Because this idea of getting into consulting was reinforced for me by business school that I went to and by my family. It was never something that I stopped to think about, wait, is this for me? Is this what Anna actually wants? And this is when the second stage of my dream career discovery started, because now I started thinking about, well, what does Anna actually want to do? So I went back to my business school that allowed us to work with a career coach as part of kind of alumni support. And we sat down and she talked to me about kind of taking a step back and looking at what is it that's important to Anna? What is it that's important to me? And I was reflecting on where I was already in my career. I had a pretty good life. I actually had a really good manager. I loved my coworkers and we're still friends to this day, even though it's been over a decade. I was learning a lot as I talked about earlier in this episode. I actually had a really good work-life balance. I had really good vacation time, which back then I didn't realize how good I had it. I had pretty good pay for that point of my career. I was living by myself in an apartment downtown. So I had it pretty good. But the big but was that I realized by kind of looking inward was that I didn't actually care about CPA accounting whatsoever. I didn't really care about the subject matter. And what was missing for me was the excitement, the motivation, the fulfillment. And this is that second stage of me defining what dream career is. So we went from just financial stability and safety and big firm downtown to I want that. I want financial stability, but I also want to actually enjoy what I do. I want the fulfillment. And when I was, again, reflecting on it, I really liked the skills that I was using every day and I was developing. I was working with clients. I was doing a lot of presentations. I loved that I was in a client-facing role. And again, that is something that I wanted to continue doing. But again, I just did not care about accounting. So I, based on some of the tips that the career coach gave me, I started exploring and I went really broad here. And I looked at all areas of interest that I had and any sort of function or company that I ever thought were cool to explore. So I started looking into banking, architecture, design, fitness, recruitment, the Olympics. I had this dream of maybe working for the Olympics. And I went as far as volunteering for the Olympics in Rio. So I really went broad here. And what I started doing was talking to real people in all of those sectors and companies and functions that I potentially wanted to explore. And what I was doing, I didn't know at the time, but I was creating a prototype of my dream job. So I was looking at the skills that I wanted to use, the skills that I was already good at, what kind of subject matter was important to me. And I was then testing this prototype. So I was talking to real people in real jobs and understanding, okay, is this something that I want to explore further, or you know what? This is not the right fit for me. So very quickly, for example, I learned that I don't want to work for the Olympics. It's very cool. It can be my passion, my hobby, but now having kind of experienced it and met and talked to a lot of people who are in that industry, I knew that was not right for me. Same with banking. I think banking was still coming from that kind of stage one where I was just looking for that safe, prestigious option. That's where I think banks were coming up for me. But I talked to a few people working in banks and I knew, you know what, again, I'm not passionate about the subject matter. So this is a no for me. So by creating this prototype, testing it, I actually narrowed it down to design. But I also realized looking at the skills that I enjoy, and creating that prototype, I also realized that, okay, well, I don't actually want to be the designer myself. I'm not going for that type of change, but I want to be in that industry while still using the skills that I enjoy and I have built. And that's how I designed this role that I ended up then getting. And I remember thinking, well, I just made this role up in my head. I just designed it. And I had no idea that it existed, but it did. And I landed a sales role in the design industry. And if you knew me back then, I was obsessed with that job and with that role. And I wouldn't shut up about it. I thought I just hit the jackpot. Because I was the person in between big retailers. So I was managing retailers like Nordstrom and Anthropologie and the design team. So I would work with the client. I would create a concept with them. Then I would go back to the design team. I would brief them. They would create some original new designs for those big retailers. And then I would be that person in between, making sure that we create an amazing collection that the client is happy with, that we deliver it, and we sell that collection. So I really, really enjoyed what I was doing. I loved working with buyers. I loved working with designers. I was traveling to LA and New York to meet with the buyers. Again, I was obsessed with that job. So for me, it was all of the original pieces that I was looking for, so financial stability and safety, but it also was that fulfillment and excitement that the job brought to me. Now, about a year into that job, something interesting started happening. So I realized that, there are a lot of highs in this job that I'm obsessed with, and I would want to work all the time because, again, I just loved it so much. At the same time, something was happening where I would feel very down. And I had no idea at that time what was happening, but I was actually working in a very toxic workplace, which, again, I was mid-20s, so I had no idea what a toxic workplace was, what a toxic manager was. And I started finding myself very unhappy to the point where I would get ready for work in the morning. I would sit down on my couch, I would cry a little bit, give myself a bit of a pep talk, and then go to work. And I started reflecting on it that this is not okay, and no job is worth feeling that way, even though I loved the job and I loved what it brought for me, but physically, I was not happy. And it started affecting my physical health as well. So I started getting physically sick. And I ended up actually leaving that job. I initially thought I'll look for a new job first, but I was honestly not okay. And I just walked away from that job with really no plan. And for someone like myself in that position, I was living abroad. I was the only person I could rely on. I didn't have a lot of savings yet. So it was pretty scary, but I knew that I just physically could not do it anymore. So that's where, for me, the definition of a dream career changed again. So it's not just the financial safety. It's not just the money. It's not just the excitement and the fulfillment and the motivation, but it's also health, both mental health and physical health. So that's where I enter into stage three. So I left that role and actually ended up going traveling, backpacking in Southeast Asia for a few months. I'm very happy that I had that opportunity and I took that time to do that. And I came back refreshed, happy, healthy, and ready to go. And I, again, was looking at, okay, well, what's the next step for me? And I knew that that previous job, I loved the job. It was just not the right environment. So now I said, okay, let's stay in this industry, but find the right environment. So I stay in the industry. I get a job that was kind of a level more senior. So now I'm working with a team. I am responsible for bringing new clients. I actually signed Nordstrom in that role, which I was very, very excited about. So I enjoyed that new opportunity very much because, again, now it brought me everything I was looking for. So financial peace, it brought me the fulfillment, and it was pretty healthy for a while. So I really enjoyed it for about a year. And then I remember we were gearing up for Black Friday. So it's November. And if you can imagine, in that industry, November and December are the two biggest months. Because if you think of, let's say, Nordstrom or Anthropology, Christmas, Black Friday are the biggest months. And because I was in sales, my job was to sell as much as possible to our clients. So let's say Nordstrom, Barney's, Bloomingdale's, Anthropology, to sell as much as possible, because those are the biggest months of the year. And I remember thinking, I don't really love this idea of getting people to buy more stuff. And I was reflecting on that. I remember it was like right around Black Friday, and thinking, well, my vision of a Black Friday as Anna, as a person, is to actually not spend money on stuff that I don't necessarily need, and ideally not even spend money on stuff because I just don't really care about stuff anymore. And that was a big aha moment that, wait a second, what I thought was the coolest job in the world a few years ago, now I just don't resonate with anymore. So that's when I realized that I changed, what I value changed. And I also kind of realized that, hey, change is normal. Change is so normal. And now that it's been a few years, I actually know that it is so normal that most of us actually change every couple of years. So if you look back at yourself a year ago, 2 years ago, you'll realize, oh, I was in a slightly different point of my life. So what was important to me actually changed. So it was normal that what a few years ago was the dream job for me, and that brought me that fulfillment and excitement and the motivation, didn't resonate with me anymore at all. So that's when we enter into the final stage 4. And that's when, again, I went back to the drawing board, again, reflecting on the skills, reflecting on the subject matter. What is it that mattered to me at this point of my career and life? And I knew that at that point, I really wanted to have more impact on people's lives outside of physical products that you would buy at Nordstrom. And the idea of recruitment kept coming up for me. And I said, you know what? Let's explore it. Again, let's test this prototype. Let's see if it fits the financial piece, the fulfillment, and the health. And that's how I got into recruitment sales. So I got into the recruitment industry, specifically in the sales function. So I kept all the skills that I really enjoyed. And I thrived in that environment. A, I loved what I did. B, I made great money. And C, I was very successful at it. And actually, something that I see happens with my clients, for example, when they get into the right role, you thrive in it because that right dream role is based on what you enjoy doing. And it's based on what you're actually good at, based on your skills. So I was thriving in it. I remember when I started, my manager told me that my performance in the first couple of months, just starting the role, was the best that he has seen in 20 years. And I truly believe that that really comes with how good of a fit that role was for me. Now, when you think about it, most of us spend more time at work with our coworkers or in front of our computer than we do often with our families. With that in mind, wouldn't you want to make sure that the career that you're building and spending so much time on is actually something that makes you happy? Because we talked about the old school beliefs in the very beginning, where it was about, you know, money, getting into a good company, and just clocking in the hours and grinding. I think that's changing. And I think that has changed for a lot of people. And that's what I see with my clients as well, where they come in and they want more. They want to actually enjoy what they do. They don't want to sacrifice their financial stability, and they don't want to sacrifice their health and work at a toxic workplace. And if you're thinking, hey, is this even possible? Is this realistic? Am I asking for too much here? I don't think so, because I have led recruitment for the top employers in the country. And I have seen firsthand just how much power you actually have as a candidate. And we'll talk about it in the next episode. So make sure that you listen to that. But you really have a lot more power than you think you do as a candidate, because it is really hard for employers to find talent. And that just means that you are actually in a much more powerful position than you think you are, to ask for what you deserve. In fact, let me tell you a story of one of my students. Her name is Luisa. When we met, she left her toxic role as an analyst in consumer goods. She felt like she had to go for a big company, big name on her resume to build up her career. So again, what we talked about in the very beginning, having those big names on your resume. But she realized very quickly that it was very toxic. She was unhappy. She didn't really care about the products that she was selling, that company was selling. So she wasn't very happy. But by, again, building her own prototype, getting clear on what's right for her, what's important to her, she got very, very clear on what kind of roles and companies she was after. And within just a few months, she got a director level role. So she went from being an analyst to being a director and landing her first six-figure role, having now a team. And she went from working in consumer goods to now working for an international law firm. And Luisa herself has an international background. So it just felt like a very good fit for her. And I have a feeling that that connection that she felt to the subject matter is how I felt when I got into the recruitment industry, that I'm doing something good for the world that feels good for me to do. Now, I want for you to experience the same. I want for you to have that dream career where you have money, fulfillment, and health as well. So I want to spend a couple of minutes and break down three common scenarios that are probably blocking you from your dream career. Number one, you might be someone who is staying in your current job, your current industry, despite not enjoying it, despite maybe even resenting it, because you've studied really hard to get there. You worked really hard building your career up in that industry, in that function. And maybe you're not even telling anyone in your life that you're thinking about making a shift because it feels crazy. Or maybe you have mentioned it to people in your life and your friends or family are saying that, oh, you are crazy for thinking about throwing all of that away. And the sunk cost fallacy here is real. Or maybe you feel like you're stuck with the career that you're in that niche, because your entire experience and network and everything that you know, your skill set is built around it. It can be very much scary. And I see it all the time with my clients, how scared they are to pivot when you are 5 years in, 10 years in, 15, 20 years in. But here's what I want for you to think about. Is the past decade worth the next 30, 40 years of unfulfillment? Okay, scenario number two. You decided to go for a certain role or industry because you thought that was your dream career, because it sounded really cool when you were younger, but now it doesn't feel right. Maybe you're looking at your manager or senior members on your team, and 5 years ago to you, that looked like the job that you wanted, but now you're looking at it and you're like, I don't actually want to do that a few years down the road. Like I said, it is completely normal to change. It is completely normal to think that you want one thing, only for your dreams to change down the line. But what keeps a lot of people stuck here is not really knowing what's next. Where can I go next? What other choices do I have? But to tell you the truth, all of these questions are very much figure outable. And in the future episodes, we'll definitely dive into that. And scenario number three, you have maybe had your eyes on a specific role, specific function, specific industry for some time. But every time you try to go after it, it just doesn't work. Maybe your application doesn't get noticed. You don't even get interviews. Maybe once in a while, you land an interview, you get very excited, but then it doesn't go anywhere. So you're kind of thinking, well, maybe it's not even realistic. Maybe I can't even do this. Why even bother? There's just no way this is going to happen for me. The competition is insane. There are hundreds of people applying. The economy is not doing great. I'm just gonna pause that. Now, if you're hearing these scenarios and they're resonating with you, you're very much in the right place, my friend. I know that you're meant for more. And I know that deep down, you yourself know that you're meant for more as well. Now, if you have been following me for a while, you probably know that I am big on taking action. So after this episode, after listening to this episode, here's what I want for you to think about. Clarity is really the foundation of you getting to your dream career. So I want for you, number one, to look back at those three pillars that we talked about today. So money, fulfillment, and health. So the three pillars that make up a dream career. And I want for you to think about which one of those pillars is missing in your life right now. Is it money? Is it fulfillment? Or is it health? Is it all three? If it's more than one, you're definitely not alone in that. And the second thing I want for you to do is, now that you know what's missing, I want for you to get very honest with yourself, maybe journal on this, and think about what you think is holding you back from going after your dream career. I would love to hear your answer and support you through that. Send me a DM at The Career Diet on Instagram or on LinkedIn, and I will try my best to create a separate episode where we dive into your specific holdups. Now, if this episode sparked something in you, I want you to know that you can take action as soon as today. I actually have an in-depth masterclass where I break down the four-step strategy that I myself used to discover and then land my dream career, and the same strategy that hundreds of my clients around the world are using and have used and went on to not only land their dream jobs, but also secure pay increases anywhere from 20% to 40, 55%, even doubling their salary. So if you're ready to learn and dive into how you can make your dream career, your reality, head to thecareerdiet.com/dreamjob or use the link in the show notes to sign up and get instant access to this free masterclass. And if you have found this episode helpful, make sure to share it on your socials. It will help me out so much, and tag me at The Career Diet. I will speak to you very soon in the next episode. If you found this episode helpful, I would be grateful if you could leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really does help me put out more free resources just like this to support you on your journey. And if you aren't already following me on social media, you can find even more content to help you build your dream career. Follow me on LinkedIn, Instagram, and TikTok at The Career Diet, or head to my website, thecareerdiet.com. I am thrilled to have you here with me, and I can't wait to connect with you in the next episode.